The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome into an Under Center podcast special. I'm J.J. Stankovic for NBC Sports Chicago. The Green Bay Packers have had an interesting offseason, to say the least, hiring Matt LaFleur as their new coach, signing a slew of free agents, including Adrian Amos, and now dealing with the fallout from Bleacher Report's explosive deep dive into the problems plaguing the franchise during the Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy era. Later this month, the Packers will have two picks in the first round of the NFL draft, adding more talent to a team that the Bears should still consider to be a threat in the NFC North. So from the lowdown from Wisconsin, I'd like to welcome the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Green Bay Packers beat reporter Jim Ozarski to the podcast. Jim does a tremendous job covering all things Packers. You can read his work in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and online at PackersNews.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Ozarski. And Jim, thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So the Packers offseason program is underway already, thanks to having, you know, the first-year coach in Matt LaFleur. But what's the mood like in Green Bay after that Bleacher Report article came out?
Well, I guess the mood is depends what side of the Rodgers line you fall on. You know, he did an extended interview before meeting the general media this week. He did an extended interview with ESPN Radio in Milwaukee and said, you know, he's heard from 100 plus teammates, and he's also said, look, if you don't like me, then this just adds to it and gives you further proof. And, you know, that's kind of how it's gone. I mean, look, for 13 years, despite four NFC championship games and one Super Bowl championship, there is a very pro and anti-Rodgers McCarthy group of fans, to be honest. It's been very interesting covering this team in that way. I mean, in terms of the social reaction to it, if you will, JJ. So, yeah, for those who are diehard Rodgers fans, this was, you know, BS and doesn't mean anything or wasn't true. And if you're the group who doesn't like Aaron Rodgers, and believe it or not, there is a wide contingent of Packers fans, and even nationally, that don't care for him, feel, hey, you know, this is the type of guy he is, and maybe the Packers, you know, shouldn't have signed him to that five-year extension last offseason. So it has been interesting. It sort of obscured the fact that Matt LaFleur is the new head coach, at least here in this early part of the offseason workout.
What's your sense of how LaFleur will handle, not necessarily the revelations in the Bleacher Report article, but how he'll handle Rodgers and how he will try to implement his system with a guy who is particular about what he likes to do in Rodgers, but also, quite frankly, has earned the right to be that particular by being the most talented quarterback, arguably, in NFL history?
Yeah, it's interesting, and that's the, I guess if you're Matt LaFleur, I believe we report he's making $5 million a year. So that's a $20 million question, right, for him.
Must be nice.
How to handle that quarterback. And quite frankly, that's why he was hired as a former quarterback coach of an MVP in Matt Ryan. And, you know, being this part of the Kyle Shanahan tree and a little bit of the Sean McVay tree. You know, we don't know yet. We did ask Matt LaFleur if he would try to discuss with Aaron Rodgers the issues that he had with Mike McCarthy, if only to learn from that, to not travel down the same path. And Matt LaFleur, at least to us, on the record, said he wasn't interested in that. He was like, it's all about starting fresh. I'm new. I'm a different person. It's all about creating that new relationship going forward. And I can respect that. And frankly, these coaches and players are really good at sort of compartmentalizing to that degree. So I believe him when he says that. And now it's for Rodgers. All eyes on him, JJ, to be honest. You know, I think it's going to, personally, I think it's going to look good. It's going to sound good. And we'll see if they start 1-3 and average 17 points a game, how it goes. You know what I mean? I think the Rodgers element to this, we're going to have to wait till the games are real, the struggles are real, and you know if there are productivity issues. But I think until then, you know, everyone's going to say the right thing.
So speaking of drama that has popped up online, but this one hasn't really permeated probably either team. I'm sure you've noticed since Adrian Amos signed with the Packers and HaHa Clinton Dix signed with the Bears that both fan bases have been arguing about which of their former players sucks the most.
Yeah, it's that's been interesting, right? And let's our good friends over at Pro Football Focus, are square in the middle of this because I believe for the past year, those guys, according to them, have been very good at their jobs, right? So you get this weird sort of, analytical element to this, but then also fans who watch these guys. What I can say about HaHa Clinton Dix, at least before he was traded, was he wasn't really a good fit for Mike Pettine and what he wanted out of the safety position. So I think that had more to do with his removal from Green Bay a year ago before the trade deadline, and I think Adrian Amos is a fit. I can't really speak to how they'll perform in their new schemes, but you're right, it is an interesting little twist to this rivalry.
So you mentioned Clinton Dix not being a good fit for the Pettine defense. I mean, he still had three interceptions when they traded him, but it seemed like there were more instances last year of HaHa Clinton Dix, you know, maybe taking a bad route to a ball or a tackle, you know, attempt that didn't really look like it, you know, on film to, you know, a fan, it may look like he wasn't giving a full effort, that type of stuff. From a personal standpoint, did you sense that he kind of felt the writing was on the wall last year where he didn't get that contract extension and he was just sort of maybe playing out the string isn't the right term for it, but sort of knew that he was going to be moving on from Green Bay after 2018?
Yeah, no, for sure. He definitely had a problem with not getting an extension before the year or during the year and up until he left and said as much. And then I think shortly before he was traded had sort of made it known, you know, I'm probably on my way out. So maybe that helped facilitate the trade ahead of time, to get a mid-round pick for him. And obviously if you look at what he signed for in Chicago, you know, the Packers look smart there. You know, not really going to, you know, get figuring in that comp pick formula.
Right.
Clinton Dix is an interesting player because he is around the ball. He does find interceptions. He does force and recover fumbles. So that's exciting. That's something, it was interesting that the Packers were willing to part with because, quite frankly, you know, that secondary just didn't turn the ball over at all. You know, he was it before he was traded, and then when he was gone, they didn't do it at all. But you are right in that, you know, there were some schematic issues, whether it be just sort of getting lost out in coverage. I wouldn't call him, you know, cheating routes or anything like that. I think he is fairly natural at getting those turnovers. But, yeah, the tackling and angles and stuff is but you know what? I think every player's flawed to a degree.
Right.
So I guess, you know, who's to say he won't fit in a little bit better in Chicago. But, yeah, tackling, I think Bears fans might be concerned about that because that also followed him to Washington for sure. But he also might have six interceptions. So that's kind of the guy you're going to get with Clinton Dix. But you're right. He did sense the writing was on the wall and made it known. And I think for both parties, kind of, I think – he made out, you know, in the sense that he's going to a team who's able to pick his destination, and the Packers obviously got a mid-round pick for him in this coming draft.
For monster coverage of the Monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
Green Bay spent quite a bit of money in the offseason on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, Adrian Amos getting that contract, but Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, both coming in on pretty hefty deals. You know, the Packers, I think, already have some good pieces in place on that defense. Kenny Clark, Kyler Fackrell, some pretty good players. You can see where Mike Pettine might want to go with this defense, but is there enough talent on that side of the ball to make the improvements that this defense needs to legitimately have a shot at contending in the NFC North?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the fact that they did spend so heavily on free agency on that side sort of, I'd say, doubled down on Mike Pettine's scheme and giving him the type of talent to do what he wants to do with that front seven. Now, Kevin King, second-round pick a few years ago, has had real problems staying healthy. But when he is healthy, I mean, a very, very good man cover corner. Jair Alexander, a rookie a year ago, a very, very good man cover corner. Guys who you literally can leave alone to cover the best receivers in the game. And that, can allow for so much with the safeties and then creating pressure in Mike Pettine's scheme. And, Clay Matthews, good player, tough guy, at 32, 33 years old, not really that pass rusher anymore. Fackrell, you're right, emerged a year ago with 10.5 sacks, but clearly the team didn't feel he could be a guy that you just run out there snap to snap. So, yes, they added these guys. I think they're going to draft more along the D-line and more pass rush. I think they feel the talent's there on offense, and Matt LaFleur and Rodgers are going to figure that out. So they think they have now what can maybe be a top 10, top 15 defense, which quite frankly has been an issue in Green Bay since, they won that Super Bowl. They just haven't had even an average defense for many, many years.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers having those two first-round picks by virtue of the Marcus Davenport trade last year that, wound up with the Saints getting him. But they have, 10 picks? Number 12, number 30, 44, 75. So they have four picks before the Bears are even going to take a guy in this year's draft. You kind of mentioned getting more defensive linemen, more pass rushers. Having that many picks seems like a pretty good opportunity to have quite a few spins of a wheel at that position. But where do you see them going with a lot of these picks?
Yeah, I think I do think defense is still a priority, especially at 12. Brian Gutekunst, the second-year general manager, is not like Ted Thompson. However, I wouldn't be surprised if he moved up and used that last first-round pick as a bargaining chip or even moved down, even out of that number 30 position. Because, as you know, if there's a quarterback sliding, teams really get antsy and want to get back into that end of the first round. So I'll put that qualifier out there. I think Brian Gutekunst is more than willing to wheel and deal. Now, I think safety is an area that they're going to address. They signed Amos, but they're really still thin there, just even from a bodies perspective. They just don't have a lot of guys yet on the roster. Pass rush, and I think signing the Smiths allows him to take a harder look at defensive line. I think 12 is still too high for a tight end, JJ. I mean, they do need a young guy, but recent history shows those tight ends that high. I don't think that's a good fit at that 12 spot. But so I think what it does is if there's that impact safety, if there's that impact D lineman, or even at outside rushing, you're like, hey, you can never have enough, right? So, later, the last time they didn't go without drafting a receiver, JJ, I think was 2012. So, I mean, it seems like they're always looking for weapons as well. So I could see them kind of address some offensive issues. Let me throw a tackle out there too. Brian Bulaga, free agent after this year. If there's a good tackle available at 12, that also might be on the radar.
Just kind of curious on this. How do people up in Wisconsin view the Bears now? Where you go from them always being the worst team in the NFC North to all of a sudden in a year, they've got the cool, fun coach, they've got the best defense in the league, they've made the playoffs. How has the viewpoint on the Bears changed up north?
There's more of a general respect that's a legitimate team. Whereas the Lions, I think, are still the Lions to everybody.
Yeah, right.
To a degree. But I think there's a feeling. Now, if you're going to talk about the fan base, there's a feeling that as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, the Bears aren't really a problem. I mean, look, they were 1-1 a year ago and took the Bears to the wire, right, at Soldier Field. You know, and that was when this team was playing for nothing, basically. So I think they feel, as fans, that the Packers just have their number with Aaron Rodgers. But that doesn't discount the team as a whole being a playoff team, being able to win the division, because, look, they do only play twice. So, no, there's definitely more respect. I think the players, for sure, though, are all have more respect than that for the Bears and what they do and can do. And they're already talking about that opener. Aaron Rodgers has said this week that, hey, maybe this suits the Packers a little bit because, quite frankly, they're probably an underdog now. You know, he put the Bears at the top, said they're one of the best teams in the conference, and mentioned the Vikings as being a very good team after that. So I think the Packers are going to, as a team, are going to kind of rally as sort of a, we're an underdog in the division type of thing, which frankly doesn't happen very often in Rodgers' tenure.
Right. That'll be interesting to see how Aaron Rodgers handles that as an underdog, and if he can use that as, you know, some sort of motivation, which when you think about, you know, a guy who I regard as one of the best quarterbacks of all time having an underdog mentality, that might be kind of a scary thing for Bears fans here.
Yeah, it's for sure, especially a guy who says he's healthy. You know, it was he revealed it was a broken tibial plateau in that knee suffered against the Bears, yep. And then a sprained MCL. So, you know, he says he's healthy. There was no surgery required. And, you know, look, all it takes is one play, as most fans know with their favorite team, their favorite players. But you're right. It's you know, it's interesting because, you know, for a 35-year-old quarterback, his window is short now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on the back nine, and he knows it. So there's no sort of grace period they're allowing themselves with a new head coach and a new offense. But you're right. They're going to try to walk that line of banging their chest of, we're the Packers, this is title town, we should always be in the Super Bowl conversation, but the Bears are good, the Vikings are good, the Saints. You know what I mean? I think they're going to try to find that motivational medium, if you will, this year.
Jim, before we let you go, where can the people find you on Twitter, online, read all your stuff?
Yeah, no, thank you. So jsonline.com, packersnews.com, and then, of course, you know, JJ, our names are so easy to say and spell,
yeah,
but you can find me on all social platforms, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. It's just my name, at Jim, OWCZARSKI. I'm from Tinley Park, Southside. You guys, everyone out there should know and be able to find me because it's just easy. You're used to it down there.
Exactly, yeah. you're used to names like Ozarski and Stankovitz.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Jim, thank you so much for your time today. We'll be back with a fresh Under Center podcast on Wednesday of this week. And thanks for listening, everyone.